God, our Father, we pray that you will speak into our hearts, that we will give ourselves over to you, to Christ, to Jesus, that we will be filled by his life. In your name we pray. Amen. I do hope you agree you get a pretty rich and varied range of sermons in our church. We look at all sorts of topics: discipleship, marriage, being filled with the Holy Spirit, fellowship, eating together, growing your relationship with God, eco issues, especially climate change. We delve into the Old Testament. I'm sure you remember with relish the series on Chronicles last year. We open up the glories of Paul's writings, as with Ian's sermon on Romans 8 a couple of weeks ago. I'm not brave enough to tackle the Romans reading today. But we delve into all sorts of difficult books along the way, like Job and Revelation. We look at being a church of invitation and run series on understanding the Bible. We have outside speakers, perhaps your partners, Children's Society, and who can forget Hannah Thomas's talks about her work as an artist amongst the women victims of ISIS and Boko Haram. All of this and more, I hope you agree, is good and fruitful. I remind myself, though, in this short series through passages in Matthew's Gospel, and I remind you, as Ian emphasized on our Vision Day a couple of years ago, it is actually all about Jesus. The extraordinary, wonderful character, person of Jesus, before whom we can only bring our whole selves, our needs and desires, our fears and aspirations, our abilities and skills, our failings and embarrassments, our doubts and our convictions, our sins and capacity for love. To bring our whole selves to Jesus in humility, self-abasement, a complete self-emptying, just giving all to him, to meet him and receive his grace, mercy, love, healing, hope. See Jesus in the gospel passage today, and I encourage you to be moved in love for him again. See the Canaanite woman who, brought to desperation, knows it's all about Jesus. And see the disciples, maybe you and me, looking on, often clueless, abrupt and unfeeling, self-centered, and see how they're constantly moved to know it's all about Jesus. Have the next slide, please. It's often been said that the person of Jesus, or to use the Hebraic version of his name, Yeshua, as recorded in the four Gospels, is such a complete, compelling, unique person, you couldn't possibly make him up. Such a wonderful, full human being. We see all the time through the gospel accounts his great zest for life, hill walking, partying, out on the lake, caring, traveling, eating and drinking, enjoying a barbecue on the beach, rejecting wealth, emphasizing simplicity, a life formed in times of solitude and prayer. He is utterly courageous, not in the machismo way of the fighter, but in the far more difficult way of moral resolution and bearing of suffering. We see him move to tears and anger. He sleeps and is wearied. I love in the gospel passage today that he takes a Mediterranean holiday, something that some of you may be brave enough to do at the moment, but we're certainly not. Tyre and Sidon are on the Mediterranean coast, about 30, 50 miles from Galilee. Looking at the context, it must seem that Jesus has gone there to get away from it all. In the previous passages, as we've heard in the last couple of weeks, Jesus has been engaged in a hectic, hugely demanding ministry in Galilee, preaching, teaching, healing, feeding the 5,000, giving Peter and the disciples a very special lesson in water sports and overcoming fear. Crowds upon crowds were coming to him. Then, just before this trip to the Mediterranean, Jesus has endured what must have been the exhausting clash with the Pharisees. How draining it is to respond to the negatively arrogant, the pompous, self-regarding, such as the Pharisees. And so, Albeit that there is surely a wider significance in Jesus going to Tyre and Sidon, which were in Gentile territory, my guess is he went essentially for a holiday, to rest and reflect and consider his ministry. The work could wait. The incessant demands would resume. As you can read in the next verses, on returning to Galilee, great crowds came to him. I reckon then Jesus went to Tyre and Sidon for some time in the sun, chilling out unrecognised, a bit of sea swimming and picnics, barbecues on the beach. A bit like Jenny and my recent holiday in Hastings, in fact. Jesus, yes, you are fully man. He has shown us how to live fully alive. The next slide, please. But a local woman doesn't appreciate that Jesus has come for a break. She is desperate, as only a mother desperate for the well-being of her child can be. My daughter is suffering terribly, she says. She attributes the agony to demon possession, and who knows, perhaps a particular manifestation of evil has subsumed her daughter. What is clear is that the daughter is very ill, gripped by pain, suffering, evil. The Canaanite woman cannot know that she's come to Yeshua, the Christ, who will bear all our transgressions on the tree. She cannot have realized that she's in the presence of the way, the truth, and the life, by whose stripes we have been healed, 1 Peter 2:24. She doesn't, thank God, have a great theology about Jesus. She just knows she needs him. She knows enough. She has seen and heard. She calls Jesus Son of David in some recognition that here is the promised Messiah of Jewish faith who will bring healing. She calls him Lord, really meaning Sir, Teacher. She does not know that she's come to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Revelation 19:16. Her simple desperation, without any great understanding, is enough. Enough to make her know she needs Jesus. The Canaanite woman may not believe the right things about Jesus, but she has what is essential, humility before him. She clearly appreciates that she has no rights to ask anything. In calling her a Canaanite in Matthew's gospel, it is emphasized that she is of a people who are ancient enemies of Israel. The woman simply self-empties before Jesus. Reliant purely on his grace, she is praying. Jesus, a master of keeping silent, not rushing in with words, does not seem to respond. Verse 23, Jesus did not answer a word. Surely he is reflecting, considering what this human need before him means for his ministry, for who he is. The woman demonstrates another key quality in prayer, persistence. She keeps crying after us, the disciples complain. Jesus, still reflecting, considering, draws out deep meaning from this situation. Isn't my ministry just to the lost sheep of Israel, to the Jewish people? He asks, almost to himself. The woman again self-empties and persists, kneeling, crying, Lord, help me. Verse 25. The next verse, 26, can sound like Jesus is being horribly callous. It is not right, he says, to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. But of course, every scripture has to be considered in the light of all scripture. And we know from all scripture that Jesus is not callous. The commentator William Barclay says about this verse, we can be quite sure that the smile on Jesus' face and the compassion in his eyes rob the words of all insult and bitterness. There is surely tender play going on in this conversation where Jesus gently, warmly subverts the understanding of his own people that foreigners are to be despised, to be treated like dogs. With deep compassion for all people, Jesus understands that his ministry is to be for all people. The Canaanite woman gives a masterful response that has become part of our communion prayer. Verse 27. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. We have no rights in who we are for blessing. There is nothing we can do or be to earn the benediction of God. Like the Canaanite woman, we simply have ourselves in humility, self-emptying, giving our cry to Jesus. And then we will meet his grace, love, compassion. The Canaanite woman's faith, recognition of her utter dependence on Jesus, is met with the healing power of Jesus. Her daughter was healed in that very hour. The next slide, please. So this glorious encounter of Jesus and the Canaanite woman, and meanwhile the disciples looking on, trying to make out what on earth is going on. They have much to learn. We have much to learn. We are often impatient, often unfeeling. The disciples just want the woman to go. Learn from the quiet compassion of Jesus, not rushing in, trying to fix every need, but quietly contemplating how to respond. Maybe the disciples' irritation was accentuated by the fact that the woman was a foreigner. We are to be aware of our latent racism. Learn from the all-embracing compassion of Jesus. Canaanite lives matter. Black lives matter. All people matter. Just one example. The number of people currently risking their lives trying to cross the channel is not a crisis for us, the fifth largest economy in the world. It is a crisis for them to be met with the all-embracing compassion of Jesus. And there is more to learn. The disciples, we must further learn from this encounter of Jesus with a foreign woman, this essential point that we are to be humble, self-emptying, persistent in prayer. We can say this so often, give lip service to it, that we may not realize we're not actually doing it. We carry on worrying, in anxiety, in pompous self-regard, trying to be masters of our own lives, when we need to truly, simply get down on our knees and cry, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me. And then the disciples, we are to learn that in Yeshua, Jesus, there is healing. Healing of soul and mind, ridding of the burden of evil, but also physical healing in him. The disciples did not, could not help the woman. They are to learn, though, that they can, they will. In Jesus' name, they will pray for healing and see miracles happen. We are to learn also that healing is possible in Christ. In conclusion, the great lesson for the disciples, for us, is actually all about Jesus. The extraordinary, wonderful character, healing person of Jesus, before whom we can only bring our whole selves. I pray you're moved again in love for him. We're going to keep a moment of quiet to end with the images on the screen before you, which may or may not resonate with you. Just close your eyes if they don't. But just take this, see the images, and reflect on this person, the life lived, God incarnate, but showing us how to fully live and to know it is fully, truly all about him, our self-emptying before Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth. And we pray, O Lord, that we will learn to be self-emptying before Jesus, to be filled by his life and presence. Amen.